Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Cute.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're some thick-ass kids.
This is Primetime.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to a best-of edition of Primetime. This is a COVID cast, but we got the day off, so we are not here. Still, good content, or at least for us, good content coming your way. This hour, you will hear two different in the news segments, one from early in the coronavirus pandemic, and one from more recent. You can compare the two. But right now, at the top of the show, Big Souk brought up a bourbon faux pas at a party he went to recently. Now, we've also got another faux pas we'd like to present you, since we are the social police here. This one involving wine at a wedding.
Here is show contributor Adam's presentation of a party etiquette question. And he asks, douche or not douche? And I instantly say this is, once again, an easy one. Douche. He says that he was at a wedding. Mm-hmm. And the best man brought a really expensive bottle of wine.
Okay.
And he let everyone know that he had brought this bottle of wine.
Seems very similar to my situation with the high-end whiskey.
And then he kept, well, I'm going to need more details on where the bottle of wine went. Mm-hmm. But he waited until the bride and groom, he got them by themselves to drink the wine. So it was just him and the bride and groom. He's the best man. So it was just the three of them that drank the wine.
Yes.
Even though he presented to the whole wedding party
that
he had brought this wine. And that is 100% a douche move.
100%. Because what you're this is the same sort of thing. The only reason you're doing this is you want other people at the soiree, if you will, to be like, ooh, look at him. How impressive. But that's the thing, is that if that's the only reason you're doing it, that's a douche move in its own. But then when you put all these sorts of weird restrictions around it, well, look, everybody, I brought this. No, you don't get any. I'm only bringing it for over here. If that's what you wanted to do, the appropriate thing to do is not present it. You pull the groom and bride aside and be like, hey, I brought something special for us. Let's go off and we'll have our own little moment. And you just do that. You don't present it to the entire party.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
That's exactly right.
I feel like these things aren't that hard to figure out.
They're not.
I just feel like people are trying to flex, and that's ridiculous. Like, if you're doing something specifically to show other people, as opposed to just doing a nice gesture or just doing something because you want to do it.
Don't you think it stems from the cheap gene? Like, that person is cheap.
Yes.
That's why they don't want to just... They don't like the idea, and this is why people defend these types of actions, because they're also cheap. So if you're cheap, don't do it.
Yeah, just be cheap.
Yeah,
you don't have to bring a really expensive
bottle
of booze.
If you're
you probably
cheap,
don't even have to buy a really expensive bottle of booze if you're cheap.
Right, cut it in half. Cut it into, like, bring a $20 bottle. It's the thought that counts.
Yes.
You don't have to. So it's a really easy one. You're tying yourself into a pickle here. Mm-hmm. Just either, if you're going to do it, present it. You can't just bring a bottle of wine that we assume is going to be opened.
Yes.
Or open a bottle of wine and pick and choose who drinks it. You cannot do that.
No.
give me a break. So if you want everyone to see that you're drinking a really big $150 bottle of wine or whatever it is, I don't know how much it costs, put it on Instagram then. Right? That's what that's for. To show off how cool you are.
Well, it's not that hard to do. And I
so if you bring something to the party,
it's for the party.
It's yes, you just can't do it. You're exactly right about, hey, just keep that in your bag. If you want to share it with just the bride and groom,
yes,
it's a special bottle or whatever, that's fine. Just tuck it away and then present it when the time comes.
We had the wonderful Mike Lynch had a wedding reception because they got married back east. And they had a wedding reception, and I got Mike a night. It wasn't like super fancy or whatever, but it was a $100-ish bottle of wine.
Very nice bottle of wine.
Very nice bottle of wine. And that's just one of those. I went and handed it to Mike and said something to the effect of, hey, tonight when you're with the missus, here you go, right? That is not for the party. It's not that hard to do. And I didn't try to weasel my way into, hey, let's pour that together. No, here's a nice bottle tonight when you're, doing whatever. Crack it open and good luck. It shouldn't be that hard to figure out. But you're right, and then I think the cheap and the douche gene are just, it's hard. I think it's hard sometimes to overcome those things.
Yeah, and you just need to recognize when you have it, and just don't why show off? Like, see, I think
there's also
deep down,
no need to show off.
Well, I think that here's what I think it is, though. I think cheap guy, deep down, this is a very deep-seated thing that he wants to present that he's not.
Yes.
So he shows up with the big Kentucky owl. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's trying to be better, and then the urge kicks in at the end.
He's
like, I can't
let
it here.
It bothers him. It bothers him that he's that way, and so he does these things as gestures to make himself feel better that he's not that way, but then he shows us all that he is that way by de-gifting and taking the bottle back. You can't do it.
No, because I've seen...
Either walk the walk, man.
I've seen this before, too, and see if you follow me on this one, because it's under the same sort of thing. You're at some sort of family gathering or some sort of group, and the bill comes, and everyone's like, hey, let's throw in 20, 25 bucks, whatever, you know. And then so people start throwing some money in, and someone says, hey, don't worry about it, I got it. If you've already thrown your handful of money in or whatever, don't pull it back out, right? Like if you've given it to that person and someone's like, hey, I'll just take care of it on the credit card, that money goes towards the tip. It goes towards that person. Now, if that person insists and be like, no. But once you've given money into a pool, don't take your money back.
Somebody did that?
Yeah,
I've never seen that.
I've seen it multiple times.
See, usually what the guy will do if they're picking up the tabs, they'll just toss the money back at you.
Yes.
Yeah, I got this.
Yes.
But you're saying somebody reached right into the kitty and said, oh, you got this? Oh, I'll take my $100 back.
Seen it twice. And not $100, damn, literally like 20, 25 bucks.
Man.
And when you see that happen, you've got one of two things. You can sit silently and judge, or you call someone out and be like, no, come on, man, don't do that. And you call it, and then immediately they get alligator arms and the money stays in the middle and that goes towards a tip or whatever, right? That should be the standard fare. Hey, you're picking it up. Here, we'll contribute. We got the tip. Here you go. And the server has a nice little thing for them at the end because they took care of a large party.
I have a problem with cheap guy because cheap guy you can be cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Or frugal, however you want to put it,
sure.
However you want to operate, you can do that. Just do it on your own program.
Yes.
Like when your cheapness disrupts everyone else at the table, that is such BS and it drives me insane. In other words, if you are uncomfortable with what is being ordered, say the wine or whatever, split you and your wife off on your own bill. And it's easy to do that. You pull the server aside and say, hey, we'll be on our own.
Yeah.
And you hand her the card for just you two. And you say, we're taken care of. And then when the bill comes and everybody's kind of like, oh, what are we going to do here? Ooh, boy, that's really expensive. You're fine.
You're good.
You did your own thing.
Yep.
You ordered cheap. Maybe you split a plate because you're that cheap. So there you go. You're good. But when you start, when your cheapness disrupts everyone else and leaves somebody stuck throwing extra cash, and that inevitably always happens. There's always the guy at the end, and we all know this guy who's the cleaner,
yep,
and he has to come in and give an extra, 10%, 20% because you're a cheap ass. That's BS.
Uh-huh.
And you know you're doing it. You know you're doing it. I'm talking to you, all of you.
It's a social.
Don't do it.
It's a social contract that we use to keep this machine going. You're the person in school that had a group project and you're like, well, someone else will do the work for me. Well, that's fine. You still end up getting the grade, but guess what? Everyone judges you and no one likes you and no one wants to be in your group. That's just the, and I'm 100% with you on this. It's just, and you know you're doing it because you feel uncomfortable. And if you don't feel uncomfortable, if you feel like at the end of the night, you're like, ha ha, I got over on him, then you're a psychopath. Then there is something deep.
That is so
deeply,
true.
And if you leave that party thinking, oh, I got over on everyone, look how much I had and I didn't have to pay for it. No, then something is deeply wrong with your soul. It's the same person that does this. If you're hanging out at a bar or you're hanging out somewhere and everyone's drinking and you go up to the bar and someone's like, hey, anyone need a topper? You need something. It's okay. I'm buying three or four here. And this goes around, you know, over the course of the evening, three, four times. If you order a drink from any one of those people, hey, I'm going up to the bar, then it is your obligation at some point in the evening to get off your ass and go up there and offer the same thing. Hey, anyone need something? It's the communal sort of thing. We're all getting in a car and we're going on this adventure together. Don't be the guy in the back that never takes his turn driving.
Well, I also don't understand why some people, I guess maybe this is harder than it sounds, but why do people eat at places they're uncomfortable eating at, right? Like sometimes you get into a situation where you've got people who are eating at a restaurant that they clearly think is overpriced or yes. They just don't want to pay for it. Why are you there? What are you doing there?
Well, again, you get roped into it. And then once you feel like you're roped into it, you're bitter that you're there. And I think that's where the, I'm going to use an angle here because I didn't want to be here in the first place.
Yeah, the angling.
And you won't take responsibility for the fact that you decided to come anyways.
That's right.
Come up with an excuse. A kid's sick, right? I got gout. I don't come up with something that you don't have to go.
Yeah. Here's Drew. He's a friend of mine. He says, there was a fishing trip.
Mm-hmm.
Four guys, $400 bill.
Yeah.
One guy, so $100 a piece, right? In the end,
mm-hmm.
Plus tip.
Sure.
One guy tries to peel off $10 because he didn't eat the crab. How about that?
Oh, my God.
$10.
Yeah.
That's $10.
$10.
So there you go. All different types.
Yeah. And someone's saying, is there a difference between being cheap and frugal? See, in that guy's mind, he's being frugal. I guess there's a difference, but boy, it's in the same corner.
I think you're frugal on your own, but when you are with other people, if your frugalness affects the group, then you're being cheap.
And that's what I was trying to point out. Everybody can handle their monies, mm-hmm. their U.S. dollars,
yes,
however they see fit.
Sure.
Just don't let it spill over onto somebody else because you know that somebody else is going to have to pay for your cheapness.
Yes.
If you want to be cheap on your own, fine, or frugal, or whatever you want to call it. But if somebody has to come behind you and clean up after you, that's just downright selfish.
That's the difference. Lynch had it right. On your own, frugal. With others, you're cheap. And no one wants to hang out with the cheap guy.
Because you can be frugal and make choices on where you go to hang out and who you're hanging out with and knowing what the price of the night's going to be usually. And that's fine because, like you're saying, you can set yourself a set of rules and you can make steps early on. But if you commit to go out with the group and you know it's going to be X amount of dollars and you can't afford it or don't want to afford it, then that's when you're
being cheap. See, I don't mind. Wait. I don't mind frugal.
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's the difference.
Yeah, but that's not cheap to me at a restaurant. Like, let's say you go to a nice restaurant. Let's say the Laura Hirsch Market's a really nice restaurant,
yes.
Right? Not overly priced, but, you know, if you have a steak and wine and stuff.
Not TGI McScratchy's.
If that guy brings his own bottle of wine mm-hmm. to, you know, then I don't know if they have a corking fee there or not, but let's say he's frugal in that way. He's like, oh, I can save, you know, $50 on the wine if I just bring my own. I really like this wine, so I'll just pay a $10 corking fee or whatever it is.
Sure.
So that to me is frugal. That's mm-hmm. not cheap. That's just, I mean, that makes sense. I totally get what you're doing there. So I don't think when you're out with somebody, if they did that on their own and I was out with them, I don't think that makes them cheap.
No.
What makes them cheap is sticking the rest of the table with your BS when it's all said and done.
Exactly. And there's ways, like if you're not a drinker and someone's at Laura Hirsch and they order a $200 bottle of wine, you should not be on the hook for that bottle of wine.
Well, and as the wine orderer,
yes,
you should never, if you order a bottle of wine, if you don't know your table and their preferences, you can't just order a really nice bottle of wine and expect them
exactly.
to pay for it.
Exactly.
You pay for it. You tell the server, if you want to get something special right
that's
there.
That's on me.
You say, that's on our tab.
And by the way, that's what I'm saying. There's a social contract there. And someone's saying every one of these frugal to cheap things can be solved at the beginning by saying no. It's a lot better to have it awkward at the beginning and just say, you know what, I'm not doing that, as opposed to waiting till the end and then trying to get an angle. But you're right in that if you are the person that's getting the expensive bottle of wine, there's something to be said for that. Or like if you're going out with someone that is in a different financial situation from you, I think there's an element to that. If you're the person, don't suggest the most expensive restaurant in Portland if you're going out with a couple that's scraping by or that has recently lost their job. And if you do go out, you should put that on the, hey, I'm treating on this. It's social contracts, social
norms. It's a galactic scoreboard.
Yes.
There's a score. There's a score up there.
Yeah.
And you all know when you're losing, you know it.
Yes. And you feel guilty about it, and yet the ones that keep going and keep racking up galactic debt, that's a flaw, and it's something you need to work on.
That's right. All right, coming
up
next.
It's going to make a difference when we go to Earth 2.0.
Exactly. No one wants to go to the moon with you.
I hear they don't take that S up there.
No. They kick you right off. You end up on the space station.
They check
station.
The galactic scoreboard, and they go,
yeah, you're not coming. Not in the new world.
We've got another planet for you.
Yeah, stay on the dying Earth, okay?
You may be more comfortable over here, sir. It's like Larry David, the two sides of the restaurant. What was that? The one side was like the good-looking people.
Yeah.
Larry, you may be more comfortable on this side. It was all the ugly people. Yeah.
You're listening to a best of edition of Primetime here on 1080 The Fan. More for you after the break.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back. It is a best of COVID cast. Let's get to some sports. One of the only real sports items we've had over the last 60 to 75 days has been the NFL draft. Here's Big Souk.
If you want one thing in the first round that I have a hard time explaining, right?
And it's Jordan Love?
It's Jordan Love. So
the Packers traded up to get Jordan Love, who is a quarterback out of Utah State,
yes,
to eventually replace Aaron Rodgers.
That is the one that I do not understand.
Aaron.
I can disagree with a Herbert pick because I don't think he's going to be very good, or I can sit there and say, well, that doesn't make any sense that you took, you know, Henry Ruggs when you had CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy on the board, or you think that the Seahawk linebacker is a reach. All of that can be an opinion, but you understand what a team's doing. You understand the path in which they're taking. What Green Bay did, when you have Aaron Rodgers under contract for an S ton of money for the next 4 years, you can't get rid of him for another three. You can't even trade him with the cap space hit you're going to take. And you were 13-3. Now, I get it. It wasn't a dominant 13-3.
NFC title game.
You were in a lot of close games, but you went to the NFC title game. You look at a team like Minnesota that you can say kind of the same level as Green Bay, right? Both really good, got dominated by the Niners, weren't quite ready for prime time. But you're there. You're close. You're 13-3. You haven't spent a first-round pick on a skill position player since like 2005, 2006. And when you do it, you trade up to draft the definition of a project quarterback who, let's just call a spade, he sucked last year in the Mountain West. I mean, you have to go back 2 years to find good tape on him.
So when could they have gotten him?
Well, you probably weren't going to get him, in the...
Oh, so you think he would... So if they go ahead and pick somebody else in the first round, they're not getting Jordan Love.
No.
You don't think he would fall to their second round pick?
Probably not. But the idea that you're 13-3 and you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, who, by the way, can no longer carry a team on his own. He's still great, but he's not Aaron Rodgers' MVP from 4 or 5 years ago. And is desperately looking for offensive line help, is desperately looking for wide receiver help, and your response is to take a guy that will not help you for the next 4 years? Dude, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm pissed. And I get the idea that eventually you have to move on. Totally understand that. But to take, to move up in the draft, to take a guy that the definition of a project that is in no way going to be ready to play, and that you can't do anything for at least the next 3 years, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I am pissed. And I do not understand that method of thinking when you've got a window here presented, and then that window is probably 2 to 3 years of prime Aaron Rodgers left before it starts to go south, and that's where you spend your pick. It baffles me.
No draft expert here, so I'm gonna try to play devil's advocate on that and say, how many times do teams fall into the trap of not getting their backup, right? Like they're not, look, Rodgers is how old now? 36?
He's 36.
He's getting up there and he's got several years left, but at the same time, he's getting older. And if you see a quarterback that you really like, I mean, I don't know. These teams all have different draft boards. They all fall in love with different guys. We have no idea about Jordan Love. I get the questions about Jordan Love, but hey, if Green Bay saw something they liked, this is kind of like Gettleman last year with Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Everybody trashed him. Well, guess what? Daniel Jones actually pretty good. I don't know if he's going to be a star. Who knows? It's only been 1 year, but, or has it been two? 1 year? Two.
No, last year was 1 year.
Yeah. Daniel Jones is a rookie. Looked pretty good. So you just never know. I think that maybe if I'm trying to play devil's advocate, could you say Green Bay saw somebody they liked to replace Aaron Rodgers? They love the idea of him really not having to play. Like, this is one where this kid is not going to play.
Yep.
Right. And they love that because that's the way Aaron Rodgers did it. Right. Under Brett Favre.
My only difference.
So teams never really, like, in other words, you don't want to be forced into finding your franchise quarterback when your franchise quarterback goes away or gets old. You don't want to be forced to have to pick that guy in that one draft, right?
Sure.
Like, you're like, okay, this is the year we have to take quarterback. Well, what if the quarterback class isn't that good? So they're getting out ahead of the curve. Teams don't normally do that. You could give them credit for that. I mean, I don't know. I get the questions about Jordan Love, but they like him. Rodgers is getting older. It's going to be a couple of years. Makes sense. I don't know about first round.
And this makes sense. And this is where I'm going with that. People are going to bring up that this is what happened to Brett Favre. Brett Favre was already talking about retirement and kind of hemming and hawing about coming back. Aaron Rodgers has said, I want to play at the end of my contract, 4 more years on it. Nothing you can do about it. And people will bring up Kansas City and the Pat Mahomes. One, Alex Smith isn't Aaron Rodgers. Two, Kansas City's roster was already chock full on offense, right? Let's not act like the Kansas City offense needed help.
Well, that's a bad comparison.
The Green Bay offense needs help. You are in a window.
Well, they've got more picks, though.
You were
wait a minute. Here's another. Okay, again, I'm merely trying to play devil's advocate. This is supposedly a draft that has 8 billion wide receivers that are starters on the NFL level. So why not take your first and pick your quarterback that you fell in love with? And then later in the draft, you're going to get an equally good wide receiver, a first round graded out talent who is a starter in the NFL later in the draft.
And part of this, too, is that I just.
Is that crazy?
I think it's a stretch and I don't under. And part of this, too, is that I think Jordan Love isn't any good. I mean,
we don't know that.
Well. Again, the idea that Pat Mahomes was killing it at Texas Tech and you had to move up to the top 10 to get him. Who the hell knows when Jordan Love was going to go? You are taking a guy that didn't dominate the Mountain West. You're taking a guy that had a bad year at the Mountain West.
There's a difference between just totally understanding the questions that you raise and anyone caring about anything other than their belief system and what they saw with their eyes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can say till you're blue in the face, this guy's going to suck or that guy's going to suck. No one knows. I understand why you're questioning it. It certainly is out there. But at the same time, they have a system. They trusted their system. They found the guy that's going to be the replacement for Aaron Rodgers. They don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, that's the best I got for playing devil's advocate on that one.
I just think, and again,
because I was as shocked as everyone else.
13-3, title game, Aaron Rodgers. 3-4 more years of him playing at a high level, and you moved up to take a guy that won't be ready to play for at least 4 years.
Excuse you, sir.
I just don't understand what Green Bay is doing.
Burping live on the radio mic. Excuse me. We'll need to clip that one to put with mine, please. Yeah. Thank you.
For a team that hasn't spent a first-round pick on an offensive player in a decade, and that's the one that you go with?
Isn't that the same as were they getting heat for taking Rodgers with Favre?
I think there was a little bit of that, but again, my point being
he's not Rodgers.
He's not Aaron Rodgers, and
But Rodgers dropped.
And Brett Favre was already hemming hawing about retiring.
Yeah. But at the time, Rodgers was not a hot item. Everybody's passing on Rodgers.
Yeah, he fell, but he was supposed to be the first or second pick. But Alex Smith went one and Aaron Rodgers took a tumble down.
Well, I respect your opinion, but you know, maybe the maybe they did something good.
Well, we'll see. I guess it'll be a couple years. I just think you go for windows, especially when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers.
We'll see what else they do. Maybe at the end of the draft. See, it's always just round one, right? Maybe at the end of seven rounds, you look and go, man, Green Bay really got some nice skill players with Rodgers and their quarterback.
What Green Bay has left in the tank.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
You're listening to a best of edition of Prime Time here on 1080 The Fan, and we are into the in the news portion of the best of. And frankly, this was a little bit difficult to find good segments for because so much of what we've been doing on in the news lately has been really, really timely, topical stuff about the coronavirus. So it's kind of weird to find like a really true funny segment. So the decision I made was I was going to play a segment from this week, from Monday 2nd, and then I was going to play in this segment about a month ago and in the news segment. So it kind of gives you an interesting month jump of what we were talking about, coronavirus and whatever other random stuff they were talking about, to what we were talking about this week. Just so happens I chose Earth Day as the day that we were talking about coronavirus in this in the news segment. So that's what's coming up here right now, April 22nd, I believe it was, in the news segment for this best of edition of Primetime.
All right. April 22, 2020. Time for the news. I'm your noted newsman.
Yeah. You're fired up about this news.
Excuse me.
Are you okay over there with those jalapeno Chex Mix?
They're a little hot.
I had those yesterday because we're running low on supplies.
Yeah, there's
here.
Not a lot of stuff going on back there.
Yeah, and I broke down and had those yesterday, and I'll tell you what.
They got a little kick.
They got a little bit of a kick, yeah.
It is Earth Day.
Okay. Go Earth. Does anyone not like Earth? I mean,
Satan.
Well, you don't know that.
Coronavirus.
You don't know that Satan doesn't like Earth. Or maybe the corona. I'll tell you what. The coronavirus may be the biggest fan of Earth, because if the one thing that's positive out of this whole thing is like you see all like the photos, like the smog is going away and animals are coming back.
Yes, much cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I just love it. It's like it's Earth Day and people are like, yeah, we get it.
Who hates Earth?
I don't know. It's like when you were growing up and your dad would try to sell you on your mom. You're like, hey, you know, who's a great lady? Your mom. Yeah, I know. Don't sell me on that. It's like, oh, my mom does that. It's like, your brother's a really nice guy. Yeah, I know, Ma. He's good. You like him.
It is also National Jelly Bean Day. How do you feel about jelly beans?
I like jelly bellies. I'm not going to say that I like generic jelly beans.
Okay.
Yeah, you get like the bastard, like Easter jelly beans, whatever. But the jelly bellies, yeah, I'm on board.
I can take or leave jelly beans. 57 new coronavirus cases in Oregon. No new deaths today. That's nice.
Those are all good things.
We have 2,002 total patients, and 595 of those 2,002 have fully recovered.
Okay. So it sounds like, again, we're doing pretty good. When are we going to open this sucker back up?
We've now learned a person who worked at the Whole Foods in the Pearl District died of COVID.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
A couple days ago.
But we knew that they died. We just didn't know that they worked at Whole Foods or...
Right.
Okay. Seems like a weird...
It is a little weird.
Like a amendment onto a news
story? They love to tell you where people worked who have it. Because, well, that would matter to their coworkers, right?
That, and we like to...
Because of the spread.
And we like to say, like, if a celebrity's relative gets it.
Yeah. You got to tie it to somebody.
Was it Eddie George's dad?
My boy?
Yeah.
What?
I think it's Eddie George's dad or an uncle. Someone closely related to Eddie George has the COVID.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, it's less about who gets the COVID and more about where they work.
Yeah. Like, we've got 40,000 plus people that are dead. But most of them
it's
just a number. But like when Eddie George's dad gets it, or if he worked at like a pork plant, then we're like,
that's right. In addition, there's
and it is. It's Eddie George's dad, but he says that he's fine.
I'll send him a text.
Yeah, you know, drop him a line and be like, hey, man, pulling for you.
In addition, an employee at the Hollywood Whole Foods has tested positive. So Whole Foods.
I think Whole Foods all of a sudden is like, what? Why are we getting all the attention?
The sad update for my own personal one is my friend's dad is now on a ventilator in the ICU.
New Jersey?
Yes.
I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, and I do think a lot of it, because right now I think a lot of America has the I don't give an F, like I'm over it. And I think so much of this is just your own individual experience with it. Like if it hasn't touched anyone close to you, you don't know anyone. And around here, it's, you know, I don't know anyone that's been affected by it. But when it's your dad or it's a relative or if you're back east or something, like Mike, your family being back in New Jersey, you probably have a different perspective on this than a lot of us out here.
It's not overly different because this is the only connection I have to it is my friend's dad. But, yeah, I mean, it makes it a little bit different because there's more of a worry because the numbers are still bad, really bad out there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in general, I feel like I'm very similar to you guys because out here it's just kind of like, yeah, it seems fine.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote.
There are a lot of people who don't think it's really a thing out here. It's really just nursing homes. It's hit some nursing homes. Mm-hmm. Hard. And that's bad. But,
you know. It's tough in a place where your business is failing, you're laid off, you feel like you're going to get laid off, you're struggling, your kids are all stressed out, and you don't know anyone that has it, and it certainly isn't overwhelmed anyone around here. Dude, I get why it's hard for a lot of people to sympathize with something that seems so far out of place, but then you look at the numbers and you're like, you can't dismiss it.
Now, we thought the first coronavirus death in the United States was up in Kirkland, Washington.
Yeah.
Back on the 29th of February was when that was reported.
And was that the one that swept through the old folks' home, right?
Yeah. Yep. They thought that was the very first death in the U.S. No! That is incorrect. New information has come out.
Yeah.
Tests on the tissue of two deceased people from Santa Clara, California reveal positives for the virus. So they died way back on February 6th and 17th.
And this goes back to, have any sort of faith that we have any idea the scope of this, when this started, how bad it really is, who's immune, who's carrying?
Now we're spitballing.
I don't think we have the foggiest clue of what the hell is going on.
The city of Portland gets $114 million from the federal government. They are just waiting on the Treasury to determine how it will be used, which I find fascinating. Like, first of all, a couple questions. One, what is stopping someone from just skimming a tad of that?
I don't know.
And two, what does that look like? Does Ted Wheeler just check the city account and go, look at that, $114 million.
He's writing checks left and
right. Is that a bank deposit?
Rubber like, stamping things?
What does that look like? How do you get $114 million? And what are the... Who is overseeing this? Like, is anybody watching that to make sure somebody doesn't just, like, who's gonna, like, Ted's like, I got a $10,000 repair bill. I'll just take it from off the top of this thing. Nobody knows the difference.
Everything I've seen so far, whether it's the PP money, the payment protection, payroll protection plan, you see that, like, a couple $100 million went to Fortune 500 companies.
What?
Yes.
Again, going back to our first segment, pretty much everything is corrupt.
Yes. There's just no...
And that is certainly true of our United States government.
A lot of people are questioning now who made the decision on who got that money and where it went. And, you know, there's some pressure on, like companies to, obviously, to give it back that shouldn't have gotten it. But basically, what we can find out is... A lot of people got some money that shouldn't have gotten some money. So to your point of who's watching over $140 million, your guess is as good as mine, but I'm going to take the guess that
114.
It's not exactly, a real stringent watchdog process.
You're listening to a best of edition of Primetime here on 1080 The Fan. More for you after the break.
Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
We roll on here on this best of edition of Primetime. Still coming up, we will have a club hour full of club stories. We will rehash the, I labeled it the bank bro story, the guy from Australia, who just wound up stealing millions of dollars due to an ATM error. There was a interesting human being behind us on the Esplanade who was fishing with a pole that was way, way, way too big for him. And then we also have a couple of funny segments that include Suk's bad picture in the BYU media guide, I believe it was. So that's all coming up in the club. But this is the continuation of In the News. Last segment, we played an In the News from about a month ago to give you an interesting idea of how In the News has changed in terms of talking about the coronavirus over the last month. This In the News segment is from earlier this week. Enjoy.
It is May 18th, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Today, Jason, is I Love Reese's Day.
Like Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yes.
All
now,
of that.
Who doesn't love Reese's?
Look, if we're going to...
That is the king on the candy power.
I mean, if you ran into someone, I get it not being your favorite, but if I ran into someone and I offered them a delicious Reese's Peanut Butter Cup and they were like, no, I don't like those, I don't know if we're hanging out. Like, I call into judgment on everything you have going on.
They call those people communists.
I mean, seriously. Although I will take a controversial stance. The PCs are my favorite of the Reese's.
More than cups?
Yes. Given my choice between a handful of the Reese's PCs, as I like to call them, or the peanut butter cup, I'm taking a handful of the Reese's PCs.
Well, I tell you, that is a hot take.
Yes. You know, Suk, I'm not sure if we're hanging out.
Yeah, that's like just as bad as not liking
really?
Reese's
that is,
peanut
I
butter
I mean, Reese's
cups.
Pieces are good, but come on now.
I mean, don't the get peanut me butter wrong. Cup I is... love them both, but I love the pieces.
The peanut butter cup is...
It's perfection.
As close to perfect as you can get.
Yeah. I like the candy crunch.
I like the ridges, too. Do you like the ridges?
I do like the ridges.
The ridges are a little harder, softer in the middle.
That's why I like Ruffles, too, because of the ridges.
Look, and again, I'm not trying to throw any shade at the peanut butter cup. I understand it's the gold standard.
Nobody likes Reese's Pieces.
Really?
That's not true.
Boy, I love them.
Hold on, I wasn't finished.
I can't
finished.
Stop eating.
Nobody. Wasn't finished. You I said nobody likes Reese's Pieces. I was going to say, nobody likes Reese's Pieces more than peanut butter cups.
But I do.
Except for you. Mm. I think that's a very, very hot take. It is also National Visit Your Relatives Day, which is ironic because, well, we're supposed to be quarantined.
Yeah.
And it is the 40-year anniversary of Mount St. Helens, the eruption in 1980.
I was not living here, and I was three, so.
Mike was -9.
I can't speak on that.
Neither was I. I wasn't living here, and I was 5.
Oh, so yeah. You in Kansas, I in Alaska, both too young to know what the hell is going on. Nothing
I do know the Royals made the World Series that year.
Oh, okay. Well, you got that.
Phillies beat them.
I was in Alaska during my formative years when Mount Spur blew up, so I can relate to that. Mm. But I don't think we had nearly the kaboom factor with Mount Spur as we did with Mount St. Helens.
We're waiting for our buddy... Dr. Jacob Glanville to release his antibody.
Yeah, what is going on?
Press
here?
Releases, but we still have nothing.
He said
on that.
Today, Monday.
Yeah, we keep getting the buckle up. Now they did say that we've got early thumbs up on the vaccine testing.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying that they're now.
Yeah, they're rushing that thing.
They're now moving into Operation Hyperactive or Warp Speed or whatever the hell it is, whatever Spaceballs reference you want to come up with. But I guess they're saying that the initial tests,
Space Force,
all the people in it have produced the antibodies, so now they're moving into larger tests. And so, as far as the vaccine front goes, I guess we're doing really well, which is great news.
Here locally, Kate Brown is pissed because a judge out in Baker County invalidated her stay-at-home orders.
Yeah, he said no, no.
Now, just so you know, Baker County's way out there, Eastern Oregon, you know, Baker City.
Yeah.
He is a circuit judge, and he this morning blocked Governor Kate Brown from enforcing the closure of Oregon churches due to the pandemic. Now, in issuing his preliminary injunction, his name is Matthew Shirtcliffe, he ruled that Brown had the authority to close churches and businesses during a public health emergency, but he said that the governor had exceeded the 28-day time window required in the Oregon Constitution for convening the legislature to renew the order. His ruling was extensive. He appeared to invalidate all stay-home orders the governor had issued to close churches and private businesses.
Yes. So everything that I read, it was really focused on the church, but then they threw in that business. So is anyone clear on exactly what this means?
No.
No. And
once
she,
again, no.
And Kate Brown said immediately that they're going to appeal to the state Supreme Court. So,
yes.
In the meantime, I still don't know. Does this mean all churches can meet? What does this mean for businesses?
Isn't this just Baker, or is this the whole state?
I don't know. I tried reading on this, and I still don't have a full understanding.
Once the maximum 28-day period is exceeded, the governor's executive orders and all subsequent orders were rendered null and void. The state's legal counsel immediately vowed to file an appeal. Here is what Kate Brown said. She said, the science behind these executive orders hasn't changed one bit. Ongoing physical distancing, staying home as much as possible, and wearing face coverings will save lives across Oregon. So there were a bunch of churches. I don't know if we talked about it on In the News. We didn't get to it. But the bunch of churches did file a lawsuit against Kate Brown and the state.
As far as we
different
know,
laws.
This only involves churches?
I don't know, man.
I'm also learning a lot about how state governments can be overridden by other things in the state really quickly and weirdly.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Circuit, I mean, judge in Baker County.
We go through a lot of our lives not really understanding what a lot of government does, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's right? Like, there's all these... And you're like, what are they? So then you get in a pandemic and you realize, oh, okay, so this is how it's supposed to work. But at the same time, you don't really trust any of it.
No, nor do I fully understand really much of anything at this point. Every time there's a new piece of news out, you try to read through it and you try to be like, okay, so this is what it means. And then I swear to God, 10 minutes later, you read something else that contradicts it or makes it less clear than what you initially read. To the point where last week, remember that thing came out like it was on Thursday. They're like, hey, by the way, on Friday, like retail stores can open up. I saw news reports like reaching out to retail stores. And they're like, we had no idea. We're like, what? They're like, yeah, you can open tomorrow. And they're like, I don't even know where you go to get the definitive answer on any of these.
So, I mean, people are saying what this means is basically in the state of Oregon, any business can reopen right now.
So is that any business or is it just churches? Because I thought private this was business. Just about churches.
It said private businesses.
I guess.
You know what the best one of
it
all
It just
of,
blows my mind that like one circuit judge is like, yeah.
And all he's saying is, hey, just look in the law there. The state constitution, it says right in there. 28 days.
I have seen that, and a lot of states are saying that they have the power for 28 or 30 days, basically a month, and then after that...
You got to go to the legislature.
You got to go to legislative, but I've seen some say that...
That's a little murky because...
Exactly. Because
of what's happening
right
now.
Yeah, you've got a state of emergency, so...
Right.
I don't know.
You know what the one of the biggest... I don't know what you call it, a faux pas or whatever, but one of the biggest ones of these where it's confusing... out of all this is the fact that retail stores could have been open the whole time and none of them knew it. Have you read that?
Yeah. They never were told.
If a retail like jewelry or clothing store or whatever, those were never included in any of the other businesses that they're talking about, like salons or there's a billion of them, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knew this. Not even the retail store owners, but they were never forced to shut down.
Yeah.
They could have been open the whole time. Now, I mean, there wouldn't have been any customers.
No. But I guess in theory, if you were the one store that stayed open, maybe there would be customers. Or at least you wanted the chance to stay open. I know plenty of business that's all they were asking for was just the chance. To follow the guidelines that, you know, the Walmarts and the Targets of the world were doing. But again, this is all very, very confusing to me.
This text says the judge just used legalese to open the entire state himself that will now take the Supreme Court to reinforce the stay-at-home order.
Well.
So the state Supreme Court now has to do something about it.
And there's another one, the state Supreme Court. When's the last time you heard about something they did?
No, the only Wisconsin's
Supreme Court opened their state.
No, yeah, but I'm saying Oregon.
No, I hell if I know.
Oregon Supreme Court. Go. You got nothing, right? I got nothing.
I do. Someone said, can you guys figure all this out for us? We're trying, man.
You're listening to a best of edition of Primetime here on 1080 The Fan. More for you after the break.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.